Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ray, with Gina Gratt on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he spent more on flights this weekend than his parents spent on his entire childhood, including their house, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that you take this podcast and tell a friend about it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Great job hosting the show. So I hear. Mm-hmm. I heard it went swimmingly.
Pretty so fun.
Thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of travel stuff and ideas and thoughts and everything else. And then lots going on around here, although I know I say this, but I do mean it. I just went to a place and I realized I had not watched TV in 5 days at a certain point. Set my personal non-TV and jack off record.
I understood.
While abroad.
Did you get a mainline when you got back to replenish your blood supply?
I did not. I got back last night at like 10, you know, I'd stayed up the whole night, blah blah blah. I'd been up 24 hours and blah 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 blah.
Sprawled out in your lay flat
seat. Sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, right. But you know, just being away in the English countryside somewhere and just sort of talking cars and breathing cars was kind of nuts. And then you also realize you have no idea what's going on in the world. And then you realize that's fine because the world doesn't miss you and you don't miss the world. Mm. And all the things that go on that you think are something are really nothing.
Yeah.
You'll never miss.
You get back and everything's the same.
You'll never miss a tsunami or a giant earthquake, but you will miss the scuffle that took place in front of the restaurant with the Trump fans versus the Antifa. Like, you'll miss all the nonsense, and you don't need the nonsense. So
probably better off without it.
Speaking of nonsense, was it just nonstop World Cup talk too? Did you have to block that out?
Not a word.
Oh,
not a goddamn thankful word of stupid soccer and just cars and car dudes and the spirit of the car man over there. So I'll tell you guys now a couple of very interesting Quince and I happen. A bunch of it happened, although you could do, you know, what everyone does, which is you look at things as, oh, my God, what a crazy coincidence. What are the odds? And then whenever you relate that to somebody, they go, oh, OK.
Anyway.
But this was kind of a weird thing and not weird, mind blown, weird. And you tell me if this could ever possibly happen again as long as you live. Or maybe even as long as humanity survives.
Ooh.
Well, I'm not giving it that much time.
Okay.
I think we're going to die as humanity dies. Yeah. First, I'll tell you about this half of the show, brought to you by Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam, MyBlue, MyBlue.com. Making It, series premieres July 31st, NBC, and MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. Okay, so just to get back to a few snippets of Goodwood. Goodwood is about 2 hours outside of London. You land in London, you drive out to Chichester. There's nothing going on but the Lord March's driveway up in there, and it's a huge event. When we were driving in, ominously, we were driving in Friday morning, and we were driving in Friday morning early to the track. We arrived sort of Thursday night, and as we're driving in as we're driving through the hedgerows and the parking lot G and the parking lot C, which are big, just sheep fields everywhere, big, massive rolling hills and everything. As we're driving in, Matt, who's in the back seat, Matt DeAndrea says, "Oh, I think that's Goldberg's truck." Goldberg, the wrestler, was driving a racing truck, like a NASCAR racing truck, up the hill. And I said, "Oh, why isn't it like in the paddock?" Because it was in the parking lot. And he said, "Oh, it's on a flatbed and it's smashed."
What?
So evidently Goldberg had figured out a way to wreck his car on his one run, his first run, on Thursday morning. The thing about this kind of stuff in general, whether it's driving, fucking, or fighting, try to cruise a little for the first round. You know what I mean? Like, don't really get into it early.
Pace yourself. Don't blow your wad at work.
Yes, pace yourself. Like, make that first run a 7/10, 6/10 kind of run. Don't set any records on Thursday morning. Just go ahead and get that kind of out of your system a little. Get a little heat into you and the tires and the car, and then kind of go for it. But Goldberg could not refrain from going for it, and so he actually crashed. So he had destroyed. Now, you got to understand, these cars don't come
short trip
from Hounslow outside of the airport of Heathrow. They come from Wichita or Florida or Nebraska. Like, they come from a long ways away, and it's not like shipping some camera equipment. It's like shipping a full-size truck to Heathrow, and then you got to get it another 2 hours outside of London.
There's some effort involved.
And that thing is destroyed in under 60 seconds. I think we have that that run if you want to look at it. We'll just, you guys go to adamcarolla.com and you can take a look at it, but it's just sort of Goldberg going up the hill. And it's Thursday, so there's not much of a crowd, but he's kind of pushing on it a little bit. And he's going around all the hay bales, and the gets past the flint wall, which is a good thing. So he's assuming he's feeling pretty good about himself if you get past the flint wall. And then he mashed the front end, and the car was no good, and they couldn't fix it.
And
Goldberg was pissed the entire weekend. So there was that. So as I was pulling up, I saw the car up on a flatbed, and I thought, well, let's not do that. Let's try to avoid that. Goldberg, by the way, hosts a CarCast with Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. So we were able to talk to him, and it was kind of comical. He had a sense of humor about it, but not really, because he's a competitive guy. He wanted to get out there and lay down a good time up that hill. He's there for a reason. And again, when that kind of stuff happens later in the run, it's kind of forgivable, or you can make peace with it, or whatever it is. But this is knocked out of the tournament in the prelims. All right. So the thing that's a weird coinkydink that you guys all may say, but really think about this. Really think about this. 1 week before I went out there, we went out to the Father's Day car show in Beverly Hills. And
your dad.
And we took a look at the McLaren Senna, Ayrton Senna edition of this McLaren car. And as I was looking at it, I do what I always do, which is, why does it remind me of this and why does it remind me of that? And what facets of this car remind me of other random cars? And that's what I was doing. And when we got back and we did CarCast, shortly thereafter, a couple days later, we're going over this event and Senna and the car and all that kind of stuff. And I said to Max Pat, I said, you know, the Senna, it has front fenders. The fenders look like, and I'm saying the front of the fenders, and I should have been saying the front fenders or the rear of the front fenders, but I was saying, we had Steve Harvey, not that Steve Harvey, of McLaren here. McLaren is back in a big way, by the way, and building really incredible stuff in England. But anyway, I said, those front fenders, they remind me of a Porsche 935, not mine, but other iterations of it. And I kept saying, I do, you know, what we do with Max Paddock, go make me right on the internet. And then he makes me horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, I started drilling down on it. I was like, look for the nine. There's a million different 935s. I said, look for the Coca-Cola 935. And he did. And it didn't really work out.
Yeah, you said, yeah, first you were saying 935 K series. So I threw up a picture and this is what happened.
We'll play a little 30-second clip.
We have my my 935. That's not exactly the angle I'm looking for. You need a little different angle.
All right,
but it's getting there.
Yeah,
it's getting there.
I was excited about that one. I thought I nailed it.
No, I see what you're doing.
They both look like fenders. It's this
no,
weird.
No, he did the exact angle. He did the mirror image. I see what.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
I just need the. I noticed it when I walked up on the car. I don't know, find the Coca-Cola 935 and just go a profile on that one. I think you'll see that angle. Hey, look, I love a 935.
Okay, so we mercifully cut that down to 30 seconds. It was 10 minutes of the show. Yeah. Find the thing and then find the Coca-Cola 935. Now, there's probably one Coca-Cola 935 in the world. It's not a 935 that I'm particularly familiar with, but I have seen pictures of it, or I maybe have seen it before, and that's the fender. And we did actually take a picture of the fender of the Coca-Cola 935 and the Senna, and they are very similar. I turn out to be right. If you look at the Senna race car on the left, and we'll put this up at AdamCarolla.com, and you take a look at the Coca-Cola 935, by the way, from 30 years earlier, it's the same shape fender.
When you said front fender, I thought if you're looking at the nose of the car from...
I get it. Thank you, Brian, for supporting Chris's ideas.
Thank you, Brian.
We're certainly the only two listening right now who thought that, so...
Well, I'm saying front fender. I don't know. What did you think?
Oh, like if you were looking... If the car was like going to run you over...
The front of the car.
Front of the car.
You're looking at the front of the car.
Right, but I'm saying front...
view.
Well, if you said take a picture of a front fender of a car, that's not the bumper or hood of a car. That's the front fender of a car. I don't know why. Well, if I said take a picture of a bumper of the car, what would you do?
Same thing.
Okay, if I said hood of the car, would you? Why doesn't front fender mean the profile of the car?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just didn't know that.
Okay. Well, the problem is if you take a picture of the front fender of the car, you're kind of hard-pressed to see what the shape is. If you take a look at the side picture of the front fender of the car, you get a... If you're talking about shapes of fenders, get a picture of the profile, you get a better idea of the shape. All right. So, they're the same. They're the same. And it was weird, and it was fine, and we never were able to settle it on that particular day. But when I pulled up to Goodwood and I walked up to my car, there was only one car that was parked next to my car. And maybe we can find a picture of that, which is that car.
That is the Coca-Cola?
That is the car that was parked right next to my car.
Is there only one that exists?
I believe there's only one that exists.
That's great.
And there was no car to the left. That was a shrub. So there was. I had only one neighbor. And your pit neighbor, your paddock neighbor's 2 feet away from your car. That's the car that's close to your car. It could have been any car in the world.
That's way more than, huh, how do you like that?
It could have been. Well, we're going to go deeper.
I hope you pointed out the front fenders are the same. The owner is like, yeah.
They handed you a Coke.
Well, this is bad news for Max Zapata, because not only was the only Coca-Cola 935 car parked directly next to my car, but 65 feet away was the McLaren.
Wow.
You could kind of see it in this photo, in the selfie of Matt.
For comparison's sake.
We'll find a picture of it at the paddock, or they'll find some picture of the car, the paddock with the car in the background, or whatever it is. But
are you telling the guy that you're talking to what's going on right now with the Coca-Cola car?
He doesn't know and he doesn't care, and he's from Germany. Like, every guy there is from Germany or France, and they don't know and they don't care. But 70 feet away from where this car is the McLaren exhibit with the Senna front and center out there. All right. There's a picture of me. If you look to the left, you'll see a shrub. If you look to the right, you will see the Coca-Cola 935 that I talked about for 20 minutes 1 week earlier, wedged right next to my car, which is weird. And it's not often that you get to show up and then stare at the fender and go, huh? And then you walk over. You see two one-of-a-kind cars. You walk 75 feet over to the other area and you go, look at that fender. Look at that fender. Isn't that just what I was talking about? That was the only car parked next to me. And it's a 935 K3. And it's the Coca-Cola car. So that was kind of weird.
It's crazy.
But then it got really weird. It got really weird past that, which is, and again, no one will ever tell the story again. It'll be, if I ever try to explain it to anyone I know with a labia majora or minora, they would just nod and grunt and go for another hit off their hibiscus tea. But then later on, they covered the Goodwood Run, and they covered it on, I don't know, YouTube, whatever, Red or something.
Yeah, it was all over the internet.
Covered the run, and going up the hill, They got to the 935 Coca-Cola car. Let's see who's driving that car.
GT3 RS on the hill.
Goldberg! That's what I was hoping for.
935, the ex-Paul Newman Whittington Brothers car. And this is the 935 that Corolla has. The 935 delivered what could have been the most famous second place in Le Mans history for Dick Barber's team. And it was Paul Newman and Rolf Stommer.
What?
That was Adam Carolla behind the wheel of the 935 Coca-Cola car.
I'm very confused.
What?
That's weird, right?
That's the third weirdest thing I've ever seen you call. Like that's happened.
It does kind of make sense that in the list of things, since you were next to each other in the paddock, did you race next to each other? Did you go right after him?
There was a car in between us. Mm-hmm. Our cars are 935s and they're red. This is true. They did have another guy driving my car as well, so it stand to reason they screwed each one up. But the fact that I did 20 minutes on the Coca-Cola 935, which by all rights should be in a museum in Stuttgart somewhere, never to see the light of day again, and then 6 days later, it's going up the hill at Goodwood, and the announcers are going, Adam Carolla's driving that car. And it's parked right next to me. Kind of weird, right? Yeah.
You got to buy that car.
It's an alternate universe, but you own that car.
Let me know if this is at all satisfying. But when I saw that footage and it was the Coca-Cola car and your name, they said it was you, I thought to myself, that's not Adam.
No. I also, it just makes you wonder. Now, you guys sit around me, but Max Pata does CarCast with me. I've never talked about the 935 Coca-Cola car ever. It's
never
not like,
even
well,
heard of it.
He's obsessed with that Coca-Cola car.
There he goes again. Newsom and 935 Coca-Cola car.
Right. It's crazy that they had my name on that car.
You got to buy that car.
I'll tell you another weird...
There's another guy named Adam Carolla racing Vince's car as a good one?
I'll tell you another weird... Coinky dink in a second. First, I'll tell you about My Blue. Vaping is huge now. No ash, no odor. It's a no-brainer. Blue, who introduced vaping to the world, is now introducing My Blue. All the satisfaction, none of the hassle. Just click and go. Easy to use. One-click liquid pods. A lot of guys vaping over there because there's a lot of fuel. Lots of cars, lots of danger. Can't be walking around with a lit-up cigarette or stogie over there. Wide range of flavors to choose from. Just 20 minutes to charge, and you're set all day. Comes with a free, limited lifetime device warranty called MyCare, so you know there's not going to be any problems, and you can try it today at MyBlue. That's MyBlue, MyBlue.com. Put down those cigarettes. Get the vaping. Dr. Drew's a big fan. Help you quit that smoking, man. Try myblue.com. That's myblue.com and try it today. So then, It's another weird piece of weirdness. Not quite as weird, but great magnet weird. I thought it was pretty weird that they had me driving that car and that it was parked right next to me and that kind of stuff.
The universe is talking to you.
Yeah.
Listen up.
The car.
The guy's desperate to sell. He's like, dude, make sure Adam Carolla hears that he's the name driving. We'll plant that seed like Inception.
I told you guys I wanted to go talk to Nick Mason about his Ferrari GTO, 1962 250 Ferrari GTO that he paid $70,000 for, and it's now $70 million. Drummer from Pink Floyd. And I did see Nick Mason around there, but I kept passing him in the driver's paddock and the this and the that. We're trying to find a time to get him and get him out of his car. You know, we got to go find him in the car, because what Nick Mason would do is Nick Mason would go drive his car, and then soon he was done driving his car, get out of the car and go right to the driver's sort of VIP lounge where
you're full pretenders.
Yeah, you can shower, you can change, you can eat, you can relax, you can talk to your other drivers, because if Nick Mason just stands in front of his GTO, there'll be a huge crowd that'll gather, and then everyone's going to want autographs and pictures, and he's going to have his weekend ruined.
Right.
So I saw Nick's car without Nick Mason, and then I saw Nick Mason in the driver's lounge just like talking to other rich English dudes, but I never saw Nick Mason standing in front of his car. And if we're going to get an interview with Nick Mason, then we got to get him in front of his car, but he doesn't hang out in front of his car. So what to do? The entire weekend went by. Now it's Sunday and we're there in the morning, and I say, look, I don't want to go home without getting our Nick Mason GTO, the car. I mean, Nick Mason's famous, but the car is $70 million worth of Ferrari. And when I say 70, it could be 85. I don't know. But I want to get that car first, and I'm going to get Nick standing in front of that car, and we can't seem to get the two together. And at a certain point, about 10:30 in the morning on Sunday, and we're going to cruise out of there at noon to make our 4 o'clock flight. Somebody says, Nick Mason's in the car. He's out on the track right now. So the answer is, well, good. Then he's got to come back up. Mm-hmm. He's got to park his car. And when he gets out of his car, we're going to be waiting for him with the boom mic. Yeah. We're going to go like catch a predator style. Would you like some sweet tea and Toll House cookies, Nick?
Mr. Mason, sit right down. You're free.
Have a seat.
You're free to leave.
And then we tackle him on the way to the driver's paddock. So we go up there and we say, all right, get the cameras ready. Get outside the car. And then when Nick Mason gets out of the car, he's a nice guy. Friendly, knows some of the guys I'm out there with and stuff like that. Everyone says, hey, just go up and talk to him. It's a little ambushy, but we're going to try to get it. It's Sunday. This is our last chance. When the $70 million Ferrari comes back and gets parked in the paddock. Now, when the guy climbs out of the car, he's a helmet, fire suit, and everything else. The guy who's driving the car is not named Nick Mason.
Oh, no.
His name Carolla?
Yep.
His name's a Coca-Cola kid. His name is Nick Manassian.
Oh, no.
Not Nick Mason, Nick Manassian.
Armenian Nick Mason?
Driving that car?
He's a Frenchman, and I may be screwing up his last name, but his name is Nick Manassian. He is not Nick Mason.
That's the best picture ever. You're so pissed.
I got a picture of this guy climbing out of the car. Nick Mason's a small guy, and, you know, he's got his initials on the side of the helmet. This guy, this Frenchman, gets out of the car. And I'm like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Nick Manassian. And I'm like, Nick Mason? Nick Manassian. And I'm like, holy shit. So.
That's amazing. He's cute.
I just decide, well, let's talk about the greatest gig ever. You get paid. He's like, Nick Mason drove on Friday, he drove on Saturday, and now he's tired. So I'm
race as Nick Mason.
So I'm driving the car now. These guys, they have hired guns to drive their multi-million dollar cars. They want a guy that's going to show up sober, not wrapping around a hay bale. They're not going to get Goldberg to drive their car. So there's a group of dudes that are like vintage, you know, jockeys who are like, this guy can be trusted to take this car and, you know, put on a show, but take care of the car. Not going to hurt the car.
Right.
But the guy's name is Nick. And it's sort of Mason, but it's like Manassi.
Wow.
Now, you guys will hear how this guy's name is pronounced. Now, there are 400 cars at this event, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to the guy, and he's a French guy. And I go, geez. So the interview turns into, how cool is this to get paid to drive Nick Mason's priceless GTO? And then, do you have some friends that are router guys, who are plumbing guys, who spent the Sunday pulling tampons wedged in toilets out with a snake, and then you can explain to them what you did on Sunday. And it turned into a, what kind of job is this where you actually figure out a way to get paid to drive you don't drive them for free.
Right.
You get paid.
Fair question.
To do what people would do on some kind of bucket list and pay $50,000 to make one run, they pay you.
How does the economy of this work? Does Goodwood, the festival, pay Nick Mason X amount of money to have the car there, whether he's there or not, and he thus doesn't want to show up Sunday and he pays this dude?
No, he doesn't. They don't pay anybody to show up. You pay
to show up. What's in it for Nick Mason to pay this dude to race it? Imagine if he's there, like he's racing his car, he wants to race it, right?
Well, he does, but he's like 72-year-old dude, and he raced it on Friday, and he raced it on Saturday, and maybe he doesn't want to go up the hill Sunday morning, you know, get up, get ready, get over to the track. Maybe he wants to cruise in at noon, chillax a little, and then he'll take it at the 3 o'clock run up the hill. It's just like...
So he'll show off the car.
Yeah, and...
He'll do the racing he wants to do.
And also, no one will ever tell the story where they're like, well, what'd he buy the car for? He bought it for $65,000. How much did he sell it for? $72 million. And then no one's ever going to go, yeah, but hold on. You got to back out the $300 he gave the driver.
Yep.
You got to flatbed it out to Goodwood. That's $700.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about pounds, so look at more of $1,000.
You got an Airbnb for you and all your mates.
Back that out.
Yep.
See, it's not all...
Okay.
We're
dealing with the nine figures or the eight figures.
Well, also, the reason it's 70-something million dollars is because people have seen it go up the hill at Goodwood. Now, no one's able to figure out exactly what that adds, but it adds to something.
Sure.
People have seen that car.
Cachet.
So you pay the Frenchman 500 quid to go up the hill, fine. Who knows what you added to the value of
there
the car. But the guy gets out of the car. His name is Nick Manassian, which is weird. Then I start talking to
him.
How
much of his name factored into him getting hired? How much did his name
85%.
Almost all.
Oh, we have the video of him saying his name?
We have a clip of here's how he pronounces it.
Hi, I'm Nick Manassian.
Wow.
That's like saying Nick Mason with a French accent, right?
Yep.
All right, so that's the guy ambush out of the car.
There's two extra letters and an A in there.
Nick Mason with a stutter.
Right. Although I could have just, if someone would have said, that's not Nick Mason driving, that guy's name is Nick Mason.
Yeah.
I'd be like, shut up, idiot. What do you think I'm saying?
It's a Porky Pig.
Right. So I go and I run the guy down, and that's kind of a weird thing because he has no idea what's going on. He just got out of the car. Some guys are a little bit private about you filming their multi-million dollar whatevers. Because it's not their car.
Right,
they didn't get
right,
to do it or whatever, but they're cool. So I interview the guy anyway, because I'm like, I want Nick Mason's car, and this is kind of a funny story, and his name's almost the same, and blah, blah, blah. And as I'm talking to him, he's asking me what I'm doing there. Who are you?
Fair.
And I said...
I drove the Coca-Cola car. Didn't you see?
Don't you watch the
streaming? You ever
streaming?
Turn on the TV?
So the thing that's funny is... I normally drive Datsuns and Nissans, and everyone just kind of goes, oh, my Nana had a Datsun. But if you say I drive a Porsche 935, there are only two kinds of Porsche 935. There's badass and then badass scary. But there is no version like there is with the Nissans or the Datsuns. Everyone knows that 935s are scary big cars. So this guy's looking at me. And I realize everyone looks at me as a goofball, which doesn't help. But he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm driving a car. And he's like, what car are you driving? And I said, a 935. And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm driving a 935. It's like, who? What happened? Like, you can tell. I'm goofy. Like, people, I don't exude confidence.
Did Goldberg pay you to drive the car?
Right. There are, you know, look, if Dane Cook said he was driving it, they'd go, great. If Patton Oswalt said he was driving it, they'd go, what the fuck? I'm somewhere in between. And the guy goes, huh? And then he goes, you're driving the 935? And I said, yeah, I'm driving the Hawaiian Tropic 935. And he goes, oh, I think I was behind you on the last run. And I said, what? And then you go to the footage, and even though they got my name wrong, I'll show you 20 seconds of me, and we'll see who's behind me. There's 500 cars at this thing. And this guy's driving Nick Mason's Ferrari GTO, which means he's not in our run group. I'm all Porsche. This guy's running in group one. I'm in group five. Why would this guy driving Nick Mason's car be in my run group? But let's see if we hear the name after my car.
Ludwig drives here this weekend. It's the car that won the championship for Klaus and for Ricardo Zonta. They won all 10 rounds of the FIA GT Championship. Porsche won the Le Mans. Bob Aiken Racing, Hawaiian Tropic Porsche, run by Dick Barber Racing. Dick Barber, a big Porsche racing exponent
in the 80s and 90s,
and came back with his own team in the early years of the American Le Mans Series as well.
Nicolas Manassian driving the 911 Carrera RS.
He said Nicolas, but that's Nick Mason.
With his 911 GT3 RS.
That guy was right behind me. Here comes Adam Carolla in the 935. All right, no editing. That's how it went down.
Damn.
A lot of quinkadinks over there,
confusing.
Right?
Confusing.
Yeah, a lot of room for confusion there. That's yes. Yeah.
Like if my name was Nick Manassian and someone came up to goes, "Hey, do you know where I can find Nick Mason?" Mm-hmm. I would say, "Yeah, that's me.
I'm right here."
Right.
I'm sure you're looking for me.
All right. So,
but a good time was had by all.
Had by all. The car ran well. People were happy to see it. And again, the car's the star, certainly not me over there.
How long does it take to get the car back?
Excuse me.
Like, is there less of a rush? Do you just kind of you get it when you get it?
Yeah, it flew out there. It was out there, and the going back is on a boat. Although I just heard it maybe on a plane. Lots of confusion. And that's just the way we like it.
I am the captain now.
I do love walking around. I do love being in the English countryside because I had this. And I'll tell you what. Let's take a quickie break. I'll come back and I'll tell you a little about life and rules in England and why I love it right after this.
Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you once you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes, it's that time.
Every day.
Yep, every day.
Podcast One and Apple.
It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One.
All right, so one of the things you realize in England, and I've discussed this with you guys before, but it takes a while to really sink in, which is they sort of trust adults to be adults. They don't do a lot of screaming about where you are, or where you're walking, or what you're doing. They sort of realize that adults can be adults. And one of the things that the one rule that really comes home to roost, the way it's illustrated to me, is walking around with a beer. we all know, oh, you're whatever it is we're doing. Like, oh, we're going to walk to the Mexican food restaurant down the street on a Saturday night. Who wants a beer? I want a beer. Oh, put it in the cup. Put it in the red cup. Put it in the big gulp cup. And it's like, you're just walking there and walking back, and it's two blocks away, and you're with your wife, and it's Saturday night, and it's 7 o'clock. A lot of alchemy going on, which is don't put the thing. Put the thing on it. Dump it into the thing, and then make sure, and watch the top. They see, you don't want to see foam at the top. That's a tell.
Literally, 48 hours ago, we were doing the 7 o'clock Saturday night, the exact same thing. We were sitting on the seawall there in Babel Island and with our, you know, drinks. Mine was in a clear plastic cup. And someone came around and said, hey, here's a red plastic cup. Would you put it in there? Otherwise, the buzz. I happily did it, but I was like, what? Why? What's the difference?
Right. And it's what we need to do.
I understand the glass thing, but like, what's the difference?
We need to stand up as a society, because what happens is you just start sliding into this sort of battered wife syndrome. Where
it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's like I was kind of eyeballing him, and he did just lose a pool tournament, so I understand why he'd be upset.
I should have known.
I should have just
most days.
I should have just looked down when he walked back. The song Lucas playing in the background. Yeah, we start to internalize. Like, I'd really like to walk to the Mexican food place up the street with a can of beer, but. I don't want to get into trouble.
I will have brought this on myself.
Right, right. So
I should know better.
It's a lot of that. And it's totally unnecessary, because it shouldn't be that way. Everything's just sort of case by case. Yes, if you're driving and you're over the legal limit, you have a beer in between your legs, by all means, throw the book at that person. This person's walking in their neighborhood. What? Why is the beer inherently dangerous? I'm going to the Mexican food place. I'm going to have four margaritas, and then I'm going to walk home. What's the difference?
Yeah. And that's why we have laws against public intoxication. If you are so drunk that you're making a scene, there will be a problem. You'll get a ticket, you get whatever. But just to walk around.
If you're not, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when I urinate into the mailbox, by all means, slap the cuffs on me. But I'm not.
You thought it was a sink.
I'm not doing anything. Okay. So. At Goodwood, there are people walking around with beer in plastic cups because they went to the kiosk or the beer garden or whatever it is, and they serve them up, and they're waiting in line, and they're getting their beers. Inside the McLaren hospitality tent, also, the security, completely different breed of cat abroad. Our breed of cats in security in the United States are simply made up of latchkey kids who never met their dad, who hate society and authority, and they are this sort of it's a kind of a funnel, which is, you know, whatever the opposite is of bring us your best and your brightest, bring us your worst and your dimmest, and that but angriest.
Yeah.
You never knew your dad. Your stepdad used to put cigarettes out on you. A lot of proclamations in high school of you're not the boss of me and all that kind of stuff. And now we give you a windbreaker and unlimited power.
You're angriest. You're most embittered. You're
most resentful. And you tell people where to park.
Yes. And then we'll put you at the mouth of every opening that lets the public get in. And I've dealt with this. Now, Los Angeles is easily the worst, but United States is bad. We just take the dumbest, angriest, most fucked up people who have a bad relationship with the man, authority, or whatever, and then we tell them to stand out front of the concert where it's going to be a nonstop stream of those people.
Rich people.
Right, who remind sponsors. You of your childhood. And guess what? You really have free reign to do whatever you want to them, if you'd like. Yep. And that's what you get.
The literal gatekeeper.
Yes, and sometimes you get just the grunt, like you do at LAX, and then other times you get fully harassed and verbally abused. I mean, like I said, walking through, I think it was Atlanta, this is old black ladies just sitting on a stool way in front of the metal detectors. Just she was the one who was checking your boarding pass, right. And then you'd go walk down and get in a 20-minute security line. I just bought myself a giant $7 latte, and it was like 7 in the morning, and she was like, you throw that away right here. And I was like, confused, because every airport has a different rule. And I said, right here, or throw it away before I go through the metal detector, right? And she goes, yeah, we'll throw it away here. I said, but I just bought it. And she said, yeah, just toss it. And I said, well, I'll just wait in line. And then she went, fine, get. Wow. She yelled get like a farmer pumping a shotgun with rock salt in it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? That would never take place in England. All it was is a bunch of fucking friendly people. Thanks, come again. It wasn't even a culture thing. There's like black people, white people, there are a bunch of girls. No one was angry and everyone's like, thank you and whatever. But I'm freaked out because I'm from Los Angeles.
You're like, what's up? What's the catch?
Yeah. So at some point, I see people walking around with their beer, and I'm done driving the car, and now I would like to join their ranks. So I would like to drive, walk around, pardon the pun, sorry, Freudian slip, with the beer. Now, we can get free beer all day long at the Senna, at the McLaren Hospitality Center, which is fine, 70 feet away from the Coca-Cola car. But I want to walk around with a beer. And so I'm like, and at the hospitality center, the McLaren, they either have a big beer bottle, it's like a big pint bottle, of like festival lager it's called, or they'll dump it into a glass, blown glass, but you know, it's glass. Yeah. They don't have the red sippy cups that we have over here trying to hide our alcoholism. So I'm like, well, that's all great. But I think I may have to go buy a beer on the outside with the plastic cup to walk around. And I said to Matt, moderator, I said, Matt, I'm going to go buy a beer at the beer stand and then we can walk around. And he said, why don't you just get the free one from Senna and from McLaren and then we walk around with that. And I said, because I can't walk around with that because either a big beer bottle or it's a glass of beer and I'm going to get tackled zip tied. And he said, no, no, I bought it. I got a couple yesterday. I just walked right out. And I thought, oh, yeah. And I just walked right into Senna. The also weird thing was walked into Senna. I keep calling it Senna, McLaren. I walked into McLaren. I had like the wrong lanyard from the day before. And the guy's like, oh, hey, mate, the lanyard's the wrong lanyard. And at the exact same moment, grandson of Shelby, of Carol Shelby's grandson, came walking up and said, oh, hey, Adam. And I said, hey, Aaron Shelby. And the security guy goes, you with him? And I went, sure I am. And he went, all right. And we both just walked
right
in.
Right this way, sir.
And then
put his hand on your chest, not so fast.
I got a big old pint of beer and a big old beer bottle, and I just walked right the fuck out, and I just strolled the entire grounds with this beer in my hand. And when I was done, I threw it away. I didn't throw it out onto the track, and I didn't hit an elderly person with it.
Goldberg's head.
Yelled, come on, bring it! Go.
You didn't christen any cars.
Yes, I'll crash this into your liver. So, you go. They let you be an adult over there.
Yeah, shocking.
Sounds good.
It must be nice, right?
Anarchy.
Yeah. I took a picture, or Matt took a picture of it, but we'll see if we can find him. He's still in Europe, so we'll never know. Let me tell you about making it this summer. NBC Parks and Rec stars Amy Poehler, Nick Offerman, Kraft and Television's ultimate creative competition. 8 talented artists will compete for $100,000. Nick's a master woodworker, as we've discussed on this show before. As the crow flies, I would say his shop is about 2 miles from here. We've been there before. He is a master woodworker. Not a carpenter, a master woodworker. Amy lacks the crafting skills, but she makes up for it in enthusiasm. It'll be the funniest crafting competition on TV. And if you loved Amy and Nick and Parks and Rec, you'll love them in Making It. Don't miss the premiere. Making It, hosted by the aforementioned Amy Poehler, Nick Offerman. After America's Got Talent, that'll be a Tuesday, July 31st on NBC Making It. Adam Ray's coming in today. Why do we love him so much?
He's hilarious and a good guest.
All right.
Everything you want.
And you never see Adam Ray and Tony Danza in the same place at the same time. The mystery continues.
Had a funny, had a very Curb Your Enthusiasm moment, which was on Friday. You guys tell me if you're wired this way, but by the time we got to Saturday night, It was a lot of pre-cut medallions of beef on the airplane at Lord Goodwood's Manor. Sure. Everything that was being served up was like, you wouldn't get a steak. You get the pre-cut
shaved
with the weird potatoes that was shot through the cake frosting bag, you know, and the weird, and at a certain point.
Weirdly decorative.
Yeah. At a certain point, I want some non-
banquet
event
hall
food.
Yeah.
I want a big pile of rice. I want a big pile of this. I want a big pile of that. I want to mix and match my own amounts.
Well,
I don't
fish
want
and
the
chips.
Here's your pile. Here's your plate. Right. There's the plate next year and your plate.
Yeah.
So I had about 4 days of that in a row. And then it came to Saturday night. And I said to Matt, we need to find some Indian food. This is England. They do good Indian food. And we need to find some Indian food. Yeah. And he said, all right, let me look on my phone. We don't have a car to drive. So I said, he said he found a place 1 mile away. And like the Yelp review is like 3.6. And I said, that's not great. And he said, oftentimes it's the attitude and not the food.
Mm. Okay.
And I said,
it's not a selling point for Adam Carolla, but yes, that's true.
I said, okay, so they have attitude, but the food may still be good. And he said, he said in his findings, that's how these things were colored a lot of the times. And I said, okay. So we started walking from our little cottage they put us up in. And we walked a mile and we got to the Indian place and we walked in, and there's that move when you walk in. You see the left side dining room, and it's crowded. Mm-hmm. It's bustling, and there's not much open. And then you see the right, and it's just wide open.
Wasteland.
And one of my things in life is this: I just want to be set away, and I want to talk, and I want to talk shit, and I want to be loud. And I don't want that table right. That person is... You can say, oh, that person's not listening. They're doing.
But
they're
still,
sitting 14 inches from you. It's nearly impossible for them not to imbibe what you're saying.
You're right.
So the guy goes and he literally sits us between two four tops, and we just get wedged right in between these two groups. And I'm like, the rest of the restaurant is wide open.
Is it the banquet where it's like against the wall? Because I don't like this.
They're literally a four top, and a little skinny two top right in the middle, and that's where they set us. Like no banquet, just right in between four and four. And I'm like, the tables are almost touching. And I'm like, I know it's super convenient for you guys and the staff, and this is the direction everyone's going, but I don't want this. So they sit Matt down, and I get up, and I don't sit. I just stand there. Before I sit down, I go, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I got to use the bathroom. And I go, it goes, go around the thing. There are all these Indian guys. And I come out of the bathroom, and I say to our guy, now, there's a crying kid who's in our area right behind us as I go to the bathroom. It's just some three-year-old who's just crying his ass off. And so I go to the bathroom, which is on the other side. And as I'm coming back, I intercept this guy before we get to my dining room. And I go, hey, listen.
Hey, guy.
I don't really want to hear that the kid... You know, crying. Do you think it'd be possible for us to just be reseated in this area here? And he goes, that is no kid. He's gone.
What?
Well, the kid got up, the whole table, and the kid got up and left in the time it took me to go to the bathroom and come back.
Okay.
The kid was gone. And I said, oh, okay. But do you think it'd be possible just to go ahead and sit over here, this wide open restaurant? The restaurant is wide open. We could just sit here anyway. And he goes, okay, just don't blame the kid.
Keeping you honest.
I was like, okay, sorry.
Under the law.
And he's like, hey, blame the kid. It's not here. And that's what you said. And I was like, okay. So then I sit in the other part of the room. And he's like, sit over there. And I was like, okay. Now I'm starting to think about this Yelp review and how great this food's going to be.
Add up, yeah.
So I go and sit down, and I sit down, and then he's going to go get Matt and tell him.
Yeah.
But he goes and finds Matt, and he passive aggressively says to Matt, your friend sat somewhere else.
I guess that's technically true.
Hoping you wouldn't
so
notice.
So Matt had to sit there and go, did I piss Adam off? Like, what's Adam? What, a little quiet time? What's a FaceTime, Lynette and the kids? I'm like, why did he just go sit somebody somewhere else?
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, he did the same thing to me, yeah. The weird passive-aggressive, yeah, angry thing that he did to Matt.
With every interaction, your expectation of the food is going up and up and up.
Yeah, this has got to be like, the best idiot in the city. Food.
It was excellent.
Oh, bet it was.
It was excellent.
That's so good.
Then there was this thing, and I realized, like, whatever you're drinking, Dawson, pina colada, heads up, this one's on me. You have to just drink what they have. Otherwise, they're insanely confused. Yeah. Like, the Indian guy came up to me, and he's like, Mom, you know when you don't think someone understands you, but you don't want to embarrass yourself by saying it again because you don't know if they heard you the first time? And this guy's like, what would you like to drink? And I was like, vodka, soda, and lemon. This is another thing, too. Could we get rid of lemon and lime starting with the first letter? Because we're getting way too fucking dumb and out of it and checked out. And everyone's on the internet and everyone's confused and no one has an attention span. And the guy's like, soda and lime? I can't tell you how many times I've said to people, like, vodka, soda, and lemon. And within 6 seconds, they went,
they forgot.
Vodka, soda, and lime? Yeah. And I went, no, the other fruit that I just, that the word that I just said moments earlier. This isn't, all right, everyone set your watch, 24 hours, we meet back here, and we review this order. I just said lemon.
Yeah.
Now, I will accept we don't have lemons and we're out of limes, but they had lemons and limes. Yeah. They don't understand it. Like, it's weird. It doesn't compute.
Slice just leaned into it. Remember their ad campaign? The only one with limon.
Right. We should all just invent a lineman and get on with our goddamn lives. And I guess it's that, you know, if you ordered, if it was lemon or pearl onion, that might work, but it's lemon and lime and people are too dumb and it's like push and pull. It's like they're too close together. We're not focusing.
I normally love to shit on your points, but Chris, this is one of the great laments of Christie's life. Whatever she orders, whether it be lemon or lime, always gets the opposite.
Also, I like a lemon in general better. But if it's vodka and soda, I just like a lemon much better. Or if it's a still water and you want to put a wedge of lemon in, I just like it better. And though there's time and room for limes, but whatever it is I said, just fucking write it down. Like, there's one thing called a lemon. There's another thing called a lime. And now it is true. They start with the same letter. But let's write it down. Let's work it out. And let's go fetch it and bring it back. Yes, it is screwed up almost all the time. Weird.
Yep.
But no one pays attention and no one's a professional waiter anymore. Cares. Everyone's doing something else and they're texting in their head or whatever it is. So I say, give me vodka, soda, and lemon. And he goes, soda and lime? And I say,
wow, one for three.
Close.
Soda, vodka, soda, and lemon. And he goes, okay, soda and lemon.
Oh, no.
And I go, but yeah, vodka, soda, lemon. Yeah, soda and lemon.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay.
Vodka is pretty crucial here.
You got burned by the thing you hate, which you should have said Grey Goose.
Right. And the guy just left, sort of confused, and then I got a miniature glass of soda with lemon in it, but I couldn't tell if it was just like a super light pour, right, or like what was, because it's got the lemon and the soda, and I'm an alcoholic, so I was like, Matt, you taste it, and then Matt tasted it, and he said, I don't taste anything in this, and I was like, okay. Now, I don't want to deal with my guy, but my guy's passive, everyone there is passive-aggressive and angry and weird, but I don't want to get yelled at, so when he leaves, I hop up and go to the bartender, I go, give me a double vodka on the rocks, smart, just right now, and he goes,
make my own.
Okay, and he gives it to me, and then I go back, and I'm making it on my table, which is angering my waiter, but I'm not sure what to do. Yeah. Also, this one, too. Everything's a little bit confusing on the menu, and this guy, you want to talk about passive-aggressive. At a certain point, I go, give me an all-order. Matt gets a chicken, a tandoori chicken, and I go, give me the chicken curry.
Yeah.
And the guy pauses, and he goes, curry chicken?
Oh, there it is.
Yes, that.
Yes, that. Also, does the thing that the passive-aggressive waiter does is he has all the time in the world. This one where you're looking at the thing and it's like, yeah, we'd like to order a vegetable dish. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at all these crazy pronunciations of everything and you go, just something in like, you know, like a potato and peas and like a tomato sauce. Tomato sauce?
No.
Yeah, like a tomato-y, mm-hmm. tomato-type tomato sauce. We don't have tomato. And you're like, you know, like something. And they just stand there. They're just silent the entire time.
They're not going to jump in.
They're literally just watching you go, but with like a vegetable, with like a sauce in it. And they're just silent. Like they don't lean over and go, well, you know, one of our more popular ones.
The Al-Gooby.
This one, this one.
Well, what you're describing sounds like.
The guy just fucking sat there silently the entire time. And then at a certain point, he's like, what kind of rice? Jasmine rice or whatever rice, and I said, "Just regular rice."
It's like, Americans.
Hmm?
Just regular rice.
Just plain rice. He's just like staring at me again, like I don't know what you're talking about. And I go, just plain regular rice.
The rice
and
he goes, bring with everything.
Pauses for a while, and he goes, white rice? Oh. And I go, yes, that one.
Uncle Ben's.
And then he leaves, and then I was like, Matt, get ready for the best fucking Indian food you've ever had in your life, because these guys are all passive-aggressive dickheads. Every one of them is a fucking passive-aggressive asshole, which it always permeates. It's just from the head down. It just bleeds down like a bottle of Maker's Mark. It just
blocks
the wax. The passive. Everyone who's there was like passive, and it's not a trait that you find with Indian guys that much, but they were all that way.
It's the trait of the hot chick. That when you know you've got the goods, you can let the guy go on the line all you want.
Well, it
when you know you got great food, you can let them twist in the wind.
I guess, but it was weird that they were all wired in this weird, mean, passive-aggressive way. And then I don't care how much juice you think you have. They're in charge of your food.
Yeah.
So you better watch it.
Not your cocktails, but your food. Yeah. Those you mix tableside.
Did you see them kind of mixing it up and laughing with any other guests? Or did it look like they just hated you?
And then he said, white rice. Oh, they'll laugh.
I don't know. The one guy came in who was a regular. He was just sitting alone, and he sat him in our section right across from us, which is, oh, thanks. Now we got the one single guy facing us who's listening to everything we say in a wide-open restaurant.
No one else distract him.
Yeah, so there was that guy.
Sweet.
I hate that guy. Who goes out alone on a Saturday night to eat Indian food? Anyway. I will.
He hates widowers.
Yeah.
Sorry about
widowers.
Your wife, because you're backing off a little bit.
All right.
Sit at the bar.
I will take you guys 65 seconds and.
Don't forget about the flight.
Oh, the flight.
We all want to hear about the flight.
Sure, the flight.
The $12,000 flight.
The flight was.
They whisked you away in a gold chariot.
I enjoyed it much more on the way back in Economy Plus, which is weird. I had my favorite seat partner, which is hefty chick that ate everything.
So 66J was her and 66K was you?
Yeah. Oh. And the beauty is, you know, they give you all the stuff. They give you the fudge brownie and the little Mylar wrap and all that kind of stuff. And if the person next to you doesn't eat it, it's a little bit of a shamer when you're tearing into yours with your teeth. Mm-hmm. This woman ate everything.
Wow. That's the best.
But
confidence.
She ate everything. She devoured everything. She was a big woman and she ate like it. But this, sitting next to me, I'm against the window. She's against the aisle. She's a lot of woman. And there ain't no getting by her. She is a bathroom goalie. Which should be the new...
And you say there was no World Cup talk.
Code for fat chicks next to you on an airplane. There was no sneaking past her. Like, if she fell asleep, you're going to catch one of her rolls while you're trying to get around
Couldn't sneak one in past the tender.
Nope. Mm. But she's there plugging up the pipes.
I'm going five-hole.
I sit down and... It's a 11-hour flight, and about 2 hours in, I got to take a whiz, which is fine. It's always a little weird as a dude having to whiz before the chick has to whiz. Not sure why.
Really? Never thought about that.
We don't like it. Okay. But I had a couple of cold ones, and I was like, I got to take a whiz. So I get up, work past her, and she's eating the tray now, the folding tray. She's eating it like you know when the great white starts going nuts and starts just eating the side of the boat or the surfboard or the weird flotation tanks on the cage, the shark cage.
Just gnawing at it.
Eyes roll back in the head and just bite.
That's what she does.
And also the shark.
She had doll's eyes.
She's like a doll's eyes.
So I get past her. I take my piss. I come back, have to work around her again, you know, bathroom goalie, and I plop down. It's an 11-hour flight. Now we're 7 hours into the 11-hour flight. I got to piss again.
And she's not gotten up.
She's not moved.
Huh.
Now, we all know that move. We all know the move where you go, she's a chick. She's been ordering drinks and eating everything, and she's consuming, man.
Doing a little calculus.
This is a middle-aged woman. Like, she's going to have to get up and use that bathroom. And when she gets up and use that bathroom, I'm just going to bump draft her right off of that thing. And then I'll finish before her because I'm just taking a quick whiz. And then I'll be back in the seat. She's not going anywhere. And I'm getting obsessed now. Like, I got to piss pretty bad.
When's the last time I was 7 hours in a row without peeing?
That is flying from New York back to L.A. on a six-hour flight and your seat partner never getting up to use the bathroom once. And sure enough, we're now 7.5 hours into this. And I'm like, all right, well, this woman is peeing where she's wearing a diaper right now or something. I don't know what's going on. I've never seen anyone go 7 hours plus on a flight where she's, you know, they're passing around drinks. She's ordering drinks.
She's awake.
She's not going anywhere.
Oy.
I go, damn it, I got to get up again. So then I get up and I do that move where I have to confront her. You know, you got to go dick first, you know, and you're putting your hands on either side of her and pushing against her seat. And the person in front of her is now reclined.
They're confused,
so you got to put your ass in their face and you're getting around. And I get around like, shit, man, 7.5 hours. No goddamn movement there. Then I get back. I got to negotiate the bathroom goalie again. But sorry, I'm rubbing my balls against your knee again and blah, 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 blah. I sit down. As soon as my ass hits the seat, she gets up to go.
Oh, come on.
You inspired her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was rough emotionally. The flight over.
The opportunity to pee again.
The flight over was fine. I don't want to bore everyone. The pod was fine. But I got to tell you, for the money, the Coach Plus was absolutely absolutely fine.
Wow.
No problemo. I can't sleep on my back. Anyway, did pass the bathroom and did find a hero, which is a dude who was in the pod, not the full pod, sort of foot pod, head pod. Looked like a Brannock device. If anyone looks up a Brannock device, they'll start to laugh. Anyone know what a...
The upside down thing?
No.
No.
When
can't help you.
It's not full pod. It's the Brannock device of air travel.
Oh, it's the foot measuring thing.
It's the foot measuring thing.
It had a name?
Yes. It's got the head cup and the foot cup, but not really anything along, no rails along the side. That's kind of what the thing looked like. Saw a dude. My big lament is I don't care how long the flight is, how big the pod is. I can't sleep on my back. Saw a hero, 6'4", big dude on his belly. On his belly. Inspiring. In that pod with the seatbelt fastened.
That was my question.
Seatbelt fastened on the belly. It opened up a world of opportunities to me.
How did he
probably
jimmy
had
that
a boner.
On?
I don't know.
It's like Tony Hawk in that 720. Like, you have to see it done.
You have to see it done.
You didn't know it was possible.
That is exactly right. All right. We duct tape a GoPro to my fender on my driver's side, and I'll show you guys a 60-second run up the hill, and you can see the weather. Goddamn beautiful. I mean, cloudless skies, 80 degrees all day long in at Goodwood, which is insane. The English countryside, it's always raining. It's always just opening up.
Yeah, you drove on a wet track last year.
Last year it was nothing but mud, too. We all got covered every day.
Okay.
You know why it was beautiful? Because I went through great mental anguish and great monetary expense explaining I can't bring slicks. I got to bring wets because it's going to be raining. and I went rain tires on this car, not slicks. Slicks, you'll get up the hill faster, but if it's raining, you'll go right off the track on slicks. I need my wet tires. And then the odyssey of tearing apart the rims and making them fit and finding the thing at great expense. The entire weekend, not a drop ever fell. And there I was on my rain tires running up a bone dry, wet track.
Is it a detriment? Like, I mean, you said you're it's slower. Not as good.
Yeah, you're slower. You're always better on slicks. But the second you touch water, we have a big, you're going to have a major issue. Because you don't get any traction on slicks. You get the best
right.
when it's hot and dry, and then you get the worst if there's rain. So if you wanted to play it safe, and it always rains, not a drop, Dawson, bone dry. And we'll show you this at AdamCarolla.com if you want. It's just, it's so beautiful. They bring you up to the start-finish line. The guy just basically stops you, and then they just give you a kind of a wave, or like you can go.
It's like a water slide,
right?
It's like
exactly.
a water. Yeah, it's like a water slide. Now, first gear is good for like 80 miles an hour. That's why. Turn it up. Let's hear it. You can turn the sound down. You just let it run. But a big thing in life, you get to the top of the hill, and then they turn you around, and that's where all the other cars are. The big thing in life is if you are driving your car that you paid for that has no insurance on the track versus I'm driving someone else's truck that I don't pay for and I don't have to fix, there's a little different mindset.
Yeah.
I imagine so.
I think twice in your own car.
Now, just take that and apply it to all of civilization, and you'll see that if you own your home or own the business or sort of whatever it is, it's yours and you're in charge of and you're on the hook for, and you must versus not mine, someone else is paying for it. See what the difference in attitude is in the same person.
Yep.
I would go drive Mike Skinner's trophy truck. Or sorry, not trophy truck, NASCAR truck, much differently than I would drive my own super expensive car.
Might take a chance or two you wouldn't normally take.
Yes, and I'm a pretty responsible guy, but it's not my car. This is my car, and there's no insurance when you're going up the hill. So I try to drive it fast and a little bit aggressively, but not like Goldberg.
It sounded like a dentist drill. It has that real high-pitched revving. It's scary, but exhilarating.
It has two turbos on it that just kick the fuck in, which is nice. And that's what you're hearing, that weird whistling thing. All right. Let me tell you. So Adam is here. Good. We love Adam, right? We will tell you about MedMen, and then we'll take a quick break. We'll bring in Adam Ray. How about that? Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere. And it could be teachers, it could be executives. Let's drop the labels. Let's head over to MedMen. You're just a customer over there. There's something for everyone. whether it's a new cannabis or a familiar one like lotion, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, they got everything there. What do you got, Gina Grant?
Yeah, I was there recently, and that's absolutely right. The diversity in the crowd, there's grandparents, there's younger people, there's executives, there's everybody goes there because they know that that's the best place with the most knowledge, cleanest, state-of-the-art facility. It's a great experience.
Well, normally I don't like diversity.
Yeah, just
this once. In this case, I'll make an exception. Committed to providing the highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. It has all been vetted. You can check out their 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or you hop online and then go to MedMen.com, find the nearest store. How about it, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and mention the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right, let's see. Adam Ray. We love Adam Ray. He's in studio, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Adam right after this.